Welcome back to the deep dive. I have to admit, today's material has me looking at my dog, sleeping right over there on the rug, with a mix of total adoration and, honestly,
yeah,
a little bit of panic, maybe even a little bit of guilt.
That is a very common reaction to this material. We are heading into territory today that essentially flips the table on everything we've been told about how to care for our pets.
Yeah, we're talking about pet nutrition, which sounds dry, I know. But we aren't talking about, you know, which brand of kibble has more protein.
No, not at all.
We are unpacking the work of Dr. Tom Lonsdale, specifically his book Raw Meaty Bones, Promote Health. And calling this a health book feels like an understatement. It reads more like a whistleblower's manifesto.
It really does. Lonsdale is a veterinary surgeon, and he has essentially gone to war against the mainstream practices of his own profession. His central thesis is stark, and for a lot of people, especially if you love your vet, it's going to be hard to hear. He argues that the processed food we feed our pets, the kibble, the canned food, the biscuits, is the primary cause of global epidemic of disease in dogs and cats.
And he starts this argument in a place that I think we all kind of joke about. Dog breath. You know, I've made the joke, oh, Buster's breath could peel paint.
Right.
Lonsdale even mentions that popular children's book, Dog Breath, the horrible trouble with halitosis.
Right. In the book, the dog's breath is so bad it knocks out burglars, the family puts up a sign, and everyone laughs. It's treated as a quirk of dog ownership. Something unavoidable.
But Lonsdale isn't laughing. He's practically grabbing us by the shoulders in the text saying, stop laughing. He argues that dog breath is absolutely not normal. He calls it the smell of mouth rot.
And that's the key pivot point. He says if your dog has bad breath, it is not a joke. It is a sign of a serious systemic disease. It's a red flashing light that the animal is slowly being poisoned.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because I think most listeners, myself included, assume that if a dog's teeth get a little yellow or their breath is a bit funky.
Yeah, you just get a cleaning at the vet.
Exactly. Maybe in a year or two, and it's fine. We treat it like a cosmetic issue. But the scale of the issue Lonsdale presents is, it's massive.
It is. He cites figures suggesting that 85% of dogs and cats over the age of 3 suffer from periodontal disease requiring treatment.
85%.
That is the vast majority of our pets. It's not an outlier, it's the norm. And he describes the physical reality of this in pretty graphic terms.
Yeah, I have to say, reading through the source material, some of the imagery is hard to shake. He talks about puppies and kittens cutting their teeth.
Which happens between 2 to 6 weeks.
And they almost immediately develop gingivitis.
Because the soft food offers no resistance. Think about it. In the wild, a wolf puppy is gnawing on tough hide, maybe a bone. That friction toughens the gums. It's like calluses on your hands.
Right.
But on a diet of mush, the gums never toughen. They just get inflamed.
And then by 4 to 6 months, when the permanent teeth come in, he describes the mouth as a soup of blood, pus, and saliva.
It is a distressing image.
That stuck with me.
Yeah.
But the phrase that really stopped me in my tracks was exfoliating teeth. When I hear exfoliating, I think of a face scrub. I do not think of teeth.
No, and he's using it in the literal sense, like leaves falling off a tree in autumn. He's describing a mouth so diseased, so rotten, that the gums simply cannot hold the teeth anymore. The body just ejects them.
Wow.
And because it hurts to chew, the animal stops using those teeth, which just allows more plaque to build up. It is a vicious, painful cycle.
So let's get into the science of this gunk, because I think most people assume that plaque is just, I don't know, leftover food, like a crumb of biscuit sitting on the tooth.
And that is exactly what the bacteria want you to think. But Lonsdale makes a point that this isn't just debris. It's alive. It is a biofilm.
A biofilm. Break that down for us, because that sounds like something from a sci-fi movie.
It's not far off. If you look at plaque under a high-powered microscope, it doesn't look like a random pile of dirt. Lonsdale compares it to Manhattan at night.
Manhattan at night, meaning it's busy.
Meaning it has structure. It has skyscrapers of bacteria stacking on top of each other. It has channels like streets and subways that allow nutrients to flow deep into the colony and waste to flow out. And the whole thing is covered in a protective slime that acts like a force field. It's an organized city of bacteria.
That is significantly more terrifying than leftover food.
And if you leave it alone, it hardens. It becomes calculus or tartar. The source describes this as the bacteria building stone houses using a honeycomb structure for strength.
So you have these rock-hard fortresses of bacteria right up against the gums.
And the worst part, according to the text, isn't even the stuff you can see. It's the anaerobes.
Ah, right.
Right. The oxygen-hating bacteria. They hide deep in the pockets of the gums underneath that Manhattan skyline of plaque where no oxygen can reach them. They are the ones producing those foul vapors.
That dog breath smell.
That's it. They are literally rotting the tissue from the inside out.
So we have established that the mouths of most pets are, according to Lonsdale, a disaster zone. But why? He puts the blame squarely on the diet. He uses this analogy of a car engine running on dirty fuel.
It's a good analogy. You put dirty fuel in a car, it might run for a while. It might even run for years. But eventually the lines get clogged, the performance drops, and the engine seizes. Lonsdale argues that processed food fails the animal in two distinct ways. Mechanically and chemically.
Let's look at the mechanical failure first. This seems intuitive based on what you said about the gums.
It is. Processed food, whether it's kibble or canned, is soft. Even dry food turns to a sticky paste when it mixes with saliva. It sticks to the teeth. It feeds that biofilm we just talked about. It's like eating caramel and never brushing your teeth.
And you contrast that with the scrub and polish effect he describes in the wild.
Exactly. Picture a wolf tearing at a carcass. It has to rip the meat, crush the bone, slice through hide. That physical action creates a vigorous wash and scrub of the teeth and gums. It wipes the plaque off before it can build that Manhattan skyline.
So that's the mechanical side. But here's where it gets really interesting to me, the chemical side. Because I think a lot of people think, well, I buy the premium kibble.
Right. I buy the stuff that costs $80 a bag.
It has vitamins added. It's science-based.
Yeah.
But Lonsdale argues that cooking the food basically kills it.
He focuses heavily on enzymes. In a raw diet, the food contains cellular enzymes. When a dog eats raw meat, those enzymes help the food auto-digest in the stomach. It starts breaking itself down.
And cooked food is dead food in that sense.
Correct. Cooking destroys those cellular enzymes. So the dog pancreas has to work overtime to produce enough of its own enzymes to digest the meal. It puts a massive strain on the organs over the lifetime of the animal.
And what about that phrase we see on every bag, complete and balanced? I feel like that phrase is the safety blanket for every pet owner.
It is.
Lonsdale seems to think it's a total myth.
He calls it a myth because he argues it is scientifically impossible. He asks a very simple question. Do we know the full micronutrient profile of a wild rabbit? Every single molecule.
Probably not, no.
Exactly. And if we don't know exactly what is in the natural diet down to the last molecule, how can a manufacturer possibly replicate it in a factory? He argues we're arrogant to think we can improve on nature.
That's a fair point. We're just guessing.
And often getting it wrong. He mentions the gamble of supplementation. You have manufacturers adding vitamins, but they might be adding them at levels that are barely sufficient, or conversely, at levels that are toxic.
There is also the carbohydrate issue. Lonsdale has this funny line. He says, have you ever seen a dog attack a wheat field?
It highlights the absurdity, right? Dogs and cats are carnivores. They aren't evolved to process grains like corn, soy, and wheat, but those are the cheat fillers in pet food. Lonsdale points out the result. Large, malodorous stools.
Yeah, he contrasts that with raw-fed dogs. Apparently, their waste is small, chalky white, and odorless. It's almost like the body uses everything in the raw diet.
But with kibble, it's just passing through a bunch of waste. That is essentially his argument. The body is struggling to process biological junk.
Okay, so the mouth is rotting, the gut is struggling. But I want to play devil's advocate for a second. Even if I accept that my dog's mouth is a mess, Lonsdale takes a massive leap. He says this isn't just about teeth. He connects this mouth rot to heart failure, kidney disease, liver issues, practically everything.
It feels like a stretch.
It does feel like a stretch. How does a dirty tooth stop a heart?
It feels like a stretch until you understand the mechanism. Lonsdale calls the mouth the portal of entry. Remember that soup of pus we talked about?
Vividly.
Well, the gums are highly vascular. They are full of blood vessels. So every time that dog chews on a piece of kibble or even just swallows, that bacteria is being pumped directly into the bloodstream. It's called bacteremia.
So the blood is carrying the bacteria. Everywhere.
Everywhere, exactly. And this leads to one of the most provocative terms in the book. He calls it foul mouth AIDS.
Whoa. Okay, we need to be really, really clear here. He is not saying processed food gives dogs the HIV virus.
No, absolutely not. And he's very careful about this distinction. He is using the acronym for its literal meaning. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Meaning the immune system is deficient because it was acquired. Or... Help me out here.
Think of the immune system like a country's defense budget. You have a finite amount of resources. If you have a war raging on your border, in this case, the mouth, where millions of bacteria are invading 24 hours a day.
365 days a year.
You have to send all your troops to the mouth.
It's a forever war.
It is. And eventually, the troops get depleted, the budget runs out, the immune system is so exhausted fighting the mouth rot that it can no longer patrol the rest of the body. It can't fight off the skin infection. It can't surveil for cancer cells.
So the dog isn't getting sick because of the bacteria in the mouth necessarily, but because the immune system is too busy dealing with the mouth to protect the liver or the kidneys.
It's both. The bacteria physically lodged in the filters, the liver and kidneys, causing direct damage. But the immune suppression opens the door for everything else. Lonsdale argues that what we call old age in pets, the stiffness, the lethargy, the kidney failure, is often just the end result of this lifelong immune exhaustion.
He also mentions bloat GDV. That's the twisting of the stomach that kills big dogs. I was surprised to see this linked to diet so directly.
He notes that bloat is rare in the wild. He links it to commercial dry food and cereal fermentation in the stomach. The stomach basically turns into a fermentation vat filled with gas and twists.
There's also a weird point about skin disease. He says fleas prefer unhealthy dogs.
It sounds counterintuitive, but he observes that fleas seem to avoid healthy, raw-fed dogs. He calls it the stinky dog phenomenon. The idea is that the skin of a processed food dog is excreting toxins and waste that actually attract parasites.
So we have this theory. Dirty fuel causes a dirty mouth, which crashes the immune system. But is there proof? The source details a specific case study that I found really compelling. The case of the Zubrickies and their terriers, Blossom and Tuffy.
This is a great before and after. So Mr. and Mrs. Zubricky loved their dogs. They spared no expense. They fed them the most expensive canned food, a brand called My Dog.
But the dogs were a mess.
They were. Vague lethargy, dermatitis. Tuffy had this neurotic, scurrying behavior. Just not happy animals.
So Lonsdale intervenes. What does he do?
He does a full dental cleaning to reset the clock and then switches them to raw, meaty bones.
And the result?
The neurotic behavior vanished. Their coats improved. But Lonsdale did something really smart. He ran blood tests.
You got the data.
He did. He measured their white blood cell counts. After the dental cleaning and the diet change, Tuffy's white blood cells rose by 67% and Blossom's by 58%.
Wait, isn't a high white blood cell count usually a sign of infection?
Usually, yes. But Lonsdale interprets this differently in this context. He argues that their immune systems were suppressed, that foul mouth AIDS we talked about. The toxic load from the mouth was so heavy, it was crushing their immune response. Once the mouth was clean and the diet was fixed, the immune system rebounded. It came back online.
That is fascinating. So the diet wasn't just making them fat or giving them bad breath. It was literally suppressing their ability to have an immune system.
That is the argument, and it challenges the conventional veterinary approach.
Which brings us to the most controversial part of this deep dive, the whistleblower aspect. Because if it's this obvious, if the science of biofilms and enzymes is so clear, why isn't my vet warning me? Why is the shelf at the vet's office stacked with the very bags of food Lonsdale is condemning?
This is where the deep dive turns into a bit of a conspiracy thriller. Lonsdale isn't just critiquing the food. He is accusing his own profession of what he calls an alliance with the pet food industry.
He uses the word alliance with a capital A.
He does. He argues it's a perfect profitable loop. The vet sells the food. The food causes the dental disease. The vet then makes money treating the dental disease with expensive cleanings and antibiotics. Then the vet prescribes a special kidney diet made by the same company, to treat the kidneys that were damaged by the first food.
That is a cynical take.
It is. But he backs it up with his own experience. He tells the story of his battle with the AVA, the Australian Veterinary Association. He tried to play by the rules. He wrote letters. He tried to publish articles linking diet to disease.
And they shut him down.
They stonewalled him. They said the issue had been aired fully. So Lonsdale decided to go rogue. And this leads to the infamous terrorist tactic at Jupiter's Casino.
I love this story. Set the scene for us.
It's the early 90s. The AVA is having its massive annual general meeting at this swanky casino. It's a black tie affair, very formal. All the bigwigs are there. Lonsdale and a colleague know they won't be given the microphone, so they sneak into the main hall before the session starts.
Mission Impossible style.
A little bit. They have these fact files, dossiers of evidence linking processed food to disease, and they plant them on every single chair in the auditorium. Lonsdale calls them landmines.
So the delegates walk in.
They sit down, they pick up the file, and suddenly the entire room is reading the one thing the leadership didn't want them to see. It caused absolute chaos.
They essentially ambush the conference.
They force the issue onto the agenda, and it worked, partially. The AVA was forced to commission a report. And get this, the report actually admitted that soft diets are associated with periodontal disease.
So he won.
In science, yes. In practice, no. The industry spun it. They took that finding and said, oh, soft food causes bad teeth. Here, buy our new dental care kibble. Buy our plastic dental chews. They monetized the problem instead of solving it.
Of course. Buy our dental chews.
And Lonsdale points out the financial conflict is deep. Vet students are often taught nutrition by representatives from the big pet food companies, Mars, Colgate, Palmolive.
So the misinformation starts at university. It's a closed loop.
Yeah.
So for the listener who is sitting there looking at their dog and feeling a little panicked right now, let's pivot to the practical takeaways. What does Lonsdale actually say we should do?
The directive is simple. Stop feeding processed food. Feed whole carcasses or raw meaty bones.
Okay, stop right there. When he says raw meaty bones, my brain screams, choking hazard, because we've been told since we were kids, never feed chicken bones.
That is the number one fear, and Lonsdale addresses it head on. He says that advice applies to cooked bones. When you cook a bone, it becomes brittle. It splinters into sharp shards that can perforate the stomach. That is dangerous.
Okay, so cooked is out. Never feed cooked bones.
Never. But a raw bone is different. It's soft. It's pliable. A dog's jaw is designed to crush and shear through it. Lonsdale argues that choking on a raw bone is incredibly rare. Much rarer, he claims, than a dog choking on a dry kibble nugget that they inhale too fast.
So he's saying we need to trust the biology.
Exactly. He recommends raw, meaty bones. That's a specific term. Not a bare white bone you buy in a shrink-wrapped package. He means a chicken wing, a chicken neck, an oxtail. It needs the meat and the bone.
Why both?
The meat provides the nutrition and the enzymes. The bone provides the calcium, but more importantly, the bone provides the scrub and polish.
The mechanical cleaning.
Yes. Imagine a dog eating a chicken wing. Yes. They have to gnaw. They have to use their side teeth to slice through the hide and crush the bone. That physical friction wipes the plaque off the teeth before it can build that Manhattan City we talked about.
It's nature's toothbrush.
It is.
It makes sense logically, even if it feels scary to try the first time.
Lonsdale suggests starting small. But he gives a very practical tool to know if it's working, the smell test.
Which is?
Smell your dog's breath. It's the easiest diagnostic tool you have. A healthy animal should not have bad breath. They shouldn't have that doggy odor. If your dog smells, something is rotting.
There is also a specific warning about salt in dry food.
Yes. Lonsdale notes that dry foods can have up to 8.5 times the natural levels of salt. They use it for palatability, to make the dog eat this dry, tasteless nugget, but it puts massive stress on the kidneys.
So if you're feeding dry food, you are loading them with salt.
And causing thirst, which leads to more drinking, but the kidneys are constantly under pressure.
Okay, we have covered a lot. We've gone from the soup of pus in the mouth to the foul mouth AIDS affecting the immune system to the industry politics keeping this quiet.
It is a lot to digest.
Pun intended. But seriously, it really forces you to question the convenience culture we have around our pets. We treat them like family, but we feed them fast food every single meal of their lives.
And we assume it's healthy because the bag says complete and balanced. Lonsdale's work challenges us to look at the results, not the marketing. The mouth is the mirror of health. If the mouth is rotting, the animal is dying.
There is one final thought from Lonsdale that I want to leave everyone with. It's about the collagen of youth.
This is a beautiful observation. He notes that old pets fed on raw bones often retain the elasticity and playfulness of puppies. He calls it the collagen of youth. Because they aren't fighting that constant inflammation, their tissues stay healthy. Their joints stay good. They don't just get old and stiff. They stay vibrant.
And that's the question we should ask ourselves. Is your pet really living full of that puppy-like vitality, or are they just surviving a slow poisoning? It's a provocative thought, and I have a feeling a few listeners might be heading to the butcher shop this afternoon.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening, and maybe go check your dog's breath. We'll see you next time.